Hello and welcome to the X-Files podcast. This is a weekly podcast focusing on the X-Files TV series, which ran from 1993 to the year 2002, spanning 9 seasons, 202 episodes, 2 feature films, a spinoff series, and a 2016 reboot miniseries. Before I intro my co-host, allow me to set things up. First, this show will in fact contain spoilers, as it is near impossible to talk about a 45-minute TV show at length and not spoil it. So we do encourage you guys to follow along as we break down the episode. Maybe check out the episode before you listen to our podcast. Second, there are many ways you can listen to us, support us. 22shotsofmoodsandhorror.com, horrorphilia.com are the two websites where we are located, as well as iTunes. We would love if you would review or leave us a rating on iTunes. That really helps out the show. And the third thing is, if you enjoy this podcast, please check out our other podcast, which is The Ash vs. Evil Dead, where we break down the new TV series that has debuted on Starz. So with all that intro out of the way, let me introduce myself. I am JP, podcasting out of Southwest PA, and joining me tonight is the Horrorphile, a.k.a. Kyle. What's up, buddy?
What is up, JP? I'm doing pretty good, man. Just want to knock this episode out, been trying to work on some stuff this week, watch some films. It's the end of 2015.
Everybody's working on their top 10 lists for the year, as well as me. I'm up to 52 films, which is good, I think, better than I did last year.
That's more than I've actually sent you my top 10 already, but I honestly haven't watched a ton of 2015 movies, and there are some, like I was telling you before, that I haven't even written down. I probably watched and forgot that they were even 2015 movies, but something that I am going to do this year, which you actually gave me the idea for, is to actually write down all the movies that I've seen within 2016. So I think I'm going to do that this year, and hopefully I'll probably just write down every movie I watch. That way I can just, you know, kind of keep them in order, but
Yeah, I actually keep a spreadsheet with everything that I watch and my rating for it throughout the year. So I know every single film that I watched in 2013, 14, and 15. I got to say, this year, 2015, has been my best year yet in terms of the sheer amount of films that I've watched and the sheer amount of 2015 films that I watched. The first year we started podcasting, you know, we as in me and my friend Moods on the 22 Shots, We barely had enough films to do the top 10 of 2013. Like, we had enough, but it was only in like mid 20s.
Yeah.
And then 2014, I think I had like 35. So I'm steady going up, and this year I should clock out at about 60 to 65, which I'm pretty happy.
Pretty awesome.
With.
Yeah, that's pretty impressive. I mean, I know I've watched a ton of flicks. I don't know. Like I said, I didn't really keep tabs on which ones were 2015, which ones were 2014, but yeah, man, I mean, I'm pretty excited. I know that 2016, from what I can see so far, thus far, is going to be another good year in horror. From what I can see, we got Rob Zombie's 31 coming out, which I'm actually really excited about that. So, and there's some other stuff coming out that I saw as well. But yeah, man, that's pretty much what I've been doing, just trying to keep up with some movies and trying to get this new year in order. I mean, New Year's in a couple of days, so trying to get everything knocked out.
Absolutely, absolutely. So, as always, we will be breaking down an entire episode here on the X-Files. And what season are we on, and what episode are we on, Kyle?
So today we are actually, and we've been knocking these out. I mean, we're already on episode 8. So this is season 1, episode 8, and the name of the episode is called Ice. This originally aired on November 5th of 1993. It was directed by David Nutter, which I don't know if you can remember whether or not he did anything else.
Yeah, I believe he has worked on a lot of TV over the years. He has done some Game of Thrones as of late. He did 6 episodes of Game of Thrones in the year 2012, 13, and 15. So he's done 1 or 2 episodes every year except for, you know, 2014 as of late, which is pretty cool. That is a very popular show. I personally have not really checked any of it out, but I know my pap is a big fan. I think you're a big fan, right?
Yeah, I'm like a huge fan of Game of Thrones, and that's and like I was actually looking earlier at that as well. Game of Thrones is a pretty impressive show to be directing because it's almost filmed like a movie or something like that. So it is pretty cool to know that he did some X-Files stuff from the first season, and now he's on to Game of Thrones, which is, if you guys have watched Game of Thrones, it's just a beautiful, it really is a beautiful show to watch. It's very well filmed. So that's pretty impressive, pretty awesome. So
yeah, and he also did some Entourage, Shameless. He did a few episodes, which is one of my favorite shows. So he's been called back to Shameless a few times. He's done a lot of other TV. He directed some episodes of the short-lived Terminator, the Sarah Connor Chronicles. He did some ER, some Roswell, Dark Angel, Smallville, TV. He did the pilot for a TV show called Sleepwalkers, which I'm not really too sure about. He did two things that I thought was kind of funny. This was his early career. He did 21 Jump Street, a few episodes. But the first like real movies that I noticed that he did is a couple of Full Moon films called Trancers 4, Jack of Swords, and Trancers 5, Sudden Death. So going all the way from Full Moon clear to Game of Thrones, which was one of the most popular shows. He also did some Sopranos, Nip Tuck, stuff like that. I mean, the dude's done a lot of TV, which is pretty cool. And as far as the writers go, those are the ones that have wrote a handful of episodes. Actually, famously, you said that, oh yeah, these guys, I don't think they've ever done much. And you know, I think it was the second episode you said that, and here this is like the third episode they did. So they actually, I believe they have both directed a little bit, but one of the guys, Glenn Morgan, he actually directed Black Christmas remake and the Willard remake.
Oh wow, yeah, that's what I was gonna say. I actually do like those two movies. I mean, even though they're, you know, remakes, they weren't that bad. So that's pretty cool as well. And yeah. You said that was Glenn Morgan that did that?
Yeah, Glenn Morgan did the Willard and the Black Christmas remake. I actually like both of those films. The Willard one, I like the original. I like the remake. Black Christmas, even though I love the original Black Christmas and the remake is complete crap compared to it, if you actually watch that film, it's pretty solid in terms of just it's a serious Christmas horror film, and they don't really make those anymore. Everything's comedy when you deal with Christmas horror films. So it came out, and the cast is hot as fuck, by the way. Like, he has one of the hottest casts ever. And then James Wong went, and he also directed Final Destination and Final Destination 3, oddly enough. So they've both done a little bit of horror. They've done a lot of producing, some writing. They've really done a lot of different things, and I believe they are kind of a team because the writer, Glenn Morgan, actually wrote the Final Destination 1 and 3 film, and, you know, the other partner actually directed it. So it seems like that's they've cool. stayed working together for a long time. I don't know if they're related or they're just good friends.
Yeah, they must. What I'm thinking, maybe they have just really good chemistry to, you know, be able to write and direct with each other, and, you know, they're probably just really good friends, I would assume, if they've been together like doing things this long. So that's pretty interesting and pretty cool. I mean, it's not often you see like a writer director or like a combo of them just hanging out together and you know, doing things for that long of a period of time. So that's pretty neat, pretty interesting.
Absolutely, absolutely.
So you want to go ahead and jump into the episode?
Yeah, well, first we always do the viewership, correct?
Yeah, viewership, that's right. Yeah, let's talk a little bit about that.
Okay, so the viewership this episode is up 0.5 from the last episode. So the last episode you had 9,500,000 viewers. This episode you have 10 million viewers, so we're back into the double digits again, which is pretty cool. And for the most part, you know, it picked up from two episodes ago, which was 8.8 million, which was the lowest of the season. So it's definitely on a incline again, which is good. And this episode in particular, I think that's great for, because this episode is actually quite the cool episode. So this episode aired the first week of November 5th, 1993. Kyle, do you want to get into it a little bit?
Yeah, let's go ahead and get into it. Just go ahead and jump into it. Yeah, November 5th, 1993, this came out. So we're into November now. And honestly, we were talking about last week that, you know, the last episode was pretty much the Halloween episode, I guess. I would consider this a little bit more of a Halloween episode, even though it's not like dealing with Halloween. I think it was a little bit more creepy as a Monster of the Week episode. So
yeah, so this is a Monster of the Week episode, and you're right. It's much more of a horror episode. This might be the most horror episode that we've seen thus far.
Yeah, yeah, it really is. So far, this is probably one of the more creepy episodes that we have encountered so far. But we'll jump into it here to kind of sum up what happens at the beginning. Because as you guys know with the X-Files, the beginning of each episode, there's like a kind of like a cliffhanger. So
I believe it's called a cold open.
Cold open,
is the appropriate term.
I've heard that before, and yeah, so it kind of leaves you with like basically something major happens. It leaves you with kind of like wondering why it happened. So basically, what happens is you're introduced to this guy. We don't know who he is. He's in like what looks like a kind of like a lab, or like he's walking around in like this lab at this outpost, and he's bloodied, and he sits down in front of a camera. Keeps saying a phrase over and over, says, we're not who we are. He keeps saying that over and over. And while he's saying that, he sits down in front of this, like, it's like a video camera. It's like one of those old VHS cameras. Some guy comes up behind him and grabs him, and they start fighting. So we got two guys now.
And
fighting.
One of those guys is actually the stunt coordinator, Ken Kersinger, who went on to not only be a stunt coordinator in Friday the 13th film, but played Jason in Freddy vs. Jason.
So that's really neat. Yeah, and he was actually the one that grabbed he's the one that was grabbed, I believe, the one that was saying we're not who we are. So, you know, he's grabbed, they start kind of rustling around, kind of fighting. We don't really know why this is happening. And the one guy, one of the gentlemen keeps saying it stops right here, right now, they start pointing guns at each other. So they're standing up, they're pointing guns at each other. There's actually a dog there running around. We don't really know where the dog's at, but you see him, you know, kind of just running around. And they point guns at each other, and they just stand there for a couple of minutes, and then they point the guns at each other's heads, like at their own heads, and they pull the trigger and commit suicide. So that's the start of the episode.
Then you get the X-Files theme, and shortly after that, we are introduced to Mulder and Scully. They discuss what had happened out in where's this one set at?
It's set in Nome, Alaska. Okay, this is an outpost. Those guys were at an outpost where it was like negative 30 degrees or something along those lines.
Yeah, so that alludes to the title Ice, you know, because it's the cold episode. So basically, this is like the only scene where we really see Mulder and Scully like in their normal environment. The rest of the show actually takes place in the Alaskan outpost, which I thought is definitely of note for this episode because we really haven't seen them in a completely out of their element type location yet. So I did enjoy that they really kind of took this one far and away from what we're used to.
Yeah, I really did enjoy that too, and I personally like the secluded kind of like creepy, dingy claustrophobic areas where they would, you know, I just like that about not just this series but like anywhere.
Yeah, and I'm with you on that.
And yeah, I mean, it's honestly, and to kind of sum up what, you know, where this little location is, if you've seen the movie The Thing, it really, really, really feels a lot like that movie where this location's set. We'll kind of get into that later on about, you know, the kind of similarities there. But yeah, Mulder and Scully, they find out about this. They find out that Mulder states that it's a group of scientists that were sent to the Arctic to drill through the ice and to reveal evidence of the Earth's climate dating back to the dawn of man. So that's why those scientists were at the outpost. So then they end up, and you know, this sort of sounds like an X-File. They don't really know why these people are killed. You know, they were only there for 2 weeks. They ended up killing each other. So Mulder and Scully end up traveling to Nome, Alaska.
Yeah. So they meet up with a crew. There's all these different people. There's like the plane flyer guy. You know, the pilot. He is named Bear, and he's kind of, you can tell right away that he might be kind of the jerk character. And then there's a couple of doctors: Dr. Hodge, a toxicologist, Dr. DeSilva, and a geologist, Dr. Murphy. So for the first time, I really felt like this is like typical like horror movie setup. Like you're introduced to all your characters and they're going out to a secluded place. And once again, I like that about this episode, that exactly. It really does feel like a horror film. So they all kind of team up. They get there. Each person has their own duty, why they're going, for, you know, what they need to their part in the mission is. And they travel. They travel to the Nome, Alaska.
Yeah, travel to Nome, Alaska. They go up to the outpost. They all get in this plane. Bear's flying the plane. You're actually introduced to a guest star who actually went on to do a lot of stuff, Steve Heitner, who actually played Banya in Seinfeld, which is pretty interesting. I'm a big Seinfeld fan. He played Banya in Seinfeld. He's actually the geologist that's going up there with them. They travel up to this outpost, kick in the door. There's bodies on the floor from the people that killed themselves. And then all of a sudden, they're all kind of, you know, gather in the outpost. The dog that had been previously seen at the beginning of the episode jumps on top of Mulder and starts trying to kind of bite him. Like, the dog's kind of going crazy. And then the bear, the pilot, kind of tries to pull the dog off of Mulder and gets bit by the dog.
So Mulder also gets bit, but his did not break skin. Bear's, however, the pilot, does break skin. So right away, just based on what we know about horror films, you probably know that that is not good that he got bit, because they kind of make a big deal out of it. And, you know, he quickly, you know, they kind of subdue the dog. They notice that there's some nodules on the dog that are similar to that of, like, the bubonic plague, at least. I believe Scully drops that line, correct?
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Bear is in the bathroom. He quickly begins to show signs of some sort of infection, or, you know, we later find out that it's more than just an infection. It actually is a parasite.
Mm-hmm.
And they basically, after that, is that when they find the parasite in the dog?
So pretty much what happens is they hold the dog down. They're looking at the nodules, kind of like what Bear had underneath his arm. They see something kind of moving around in the dog's skin, underneath the dog's skin, and it's obviously that it's something. There's like some kind of creature underneath this dog's skin moving around. Bear immediately starts freaking out, trying to leave the outpost. Mulder won't let him go, kind of holds him down. And when they're holding him down, you can see this creature crawling around at his neck, and they try to cut the creature out of its neck. Out of Bear's neck, and they get the creature out, which kind of looks like a worm. And
meanwhile, Mulder is actually trying to make a distress call, and that's when we find out the important horror movie moment where Mulder finds out, which also in turn lets the audience find out that there's a huge snowstorm coming in, and they need to leave within the next hour if they want to make it out of there. Otherwise, they're there for days. So by the time Mulder comes back out, he, you know, is like, yeah, we got to get Bear and we got to get to the helicopter, whatever. They're basically like, well, Bear's dead, so
Bear died
from,
I know, it's kind of like it was honestly really quick how he died. I mean, I don't know if he died from blood loss or from what they were doing, but he died. Bear was dead after they took that organism out. They actually took the organism with a little, looks like a little millworm, and put it
actually is a millworm.
Yeah, put it in like a jar full of water, and you can see it kind of swimming around.
You can see some CG. You can see the CGI swimming around.
That's exactly. It's like really, really old school CGI. You can pretty much see it swimming around.
Not too good, but they do keep it to a minimum.
Yeah, I mean, with this, they kind of had to do CGI because the worm, as aggressive as it would, like, even if they use a normal,
it's not gonna swim around like that.
But pretty much, they kind of start researching and finding out a little bit more about the organism, and they found out that the organism makes the host, like the person that it's, you know, the host of it, want to kill other people. So it brings out aggression in the host. So and makes it, you know, makes the person violently aggressive. Mulder thinks that pretty much how this organism came to be was that a meteor came to Earth a long time ago where this outpost was, where they were drilling, hit the Earth and kind of like buried itself, and it brought these organisms with it.
From space, which means they're aliens.
Which means they're aliens, and kind of proves his, you know, his existence.
Had he been able to prove that that is what happened, then that would be the proof of aliens. So you can see why it's very important to Mulder. One thing that we didn't note is that at about this time, paranoia is starting to set in, where Mulder says something to Bear before he died about, well, we need to get everybody quarantined because of, you know, if there is some sort of parasite or some kind of plague or virus, it needs to be quarantined. So right away, you can see Mulder does care about the overall health and, you know, future of the entire country, because if something like that got out into the heavy populated areas, it could be, you know, the end of humanity as a whole. And so this is all sort of starting to lead to paranoia as we move further into the episode. They start checking each other for different skin irritations and rashes and the nodule type things.
Yep, they're checking each other out, and you know they're just kind of looking at each other, trying to find out who has it, who doesn't have it. They actually go to bed at some point. I was thinking I don't know how they're going to go to bed during this whole situation.
Yeah, would you be able to sleep?
I wouldn't be able to sleep. There'd be no way in hell. I would feel like somebody's infected. They're going to kill me in my sleep. You actually see Scully at one point put like a dresser in front of her door because she's that scared. But what happens, they all go to sleep. They all have separate bunks. Mulder hears the geologist, the guy that played Banyan Seinfeld, hears him, rustling around, and he goes out of his room and notices he's gone. Mulder starts walking around and sees that the geologist is dead in this freezer, and Scully and all the other people end up walking in when, basically his body fell on top of Mulder, and it looks like Mulder would have killed him. So
everybody's like, "What the hell, Mulder?
What the hell, fucking Mulder? Like, murderer? Why would you do this? Exactly. You're murdering." Mulder's like flipping out. He's like, "I didn't do shit."
And honestly, it is a little out of character from what we're used to with Mulder. Exactly. Of course, that's probably played up for the episode to make the character seem like he is acting weird. But also, it's high stress environment. It's the paranoia. It's the, how would you feel if you knew that you were innocent, but everybody's looking at you pointing their finger like this guy's infected? You might act a little crazy as well. So it is nice to see a different sort of side of Mulder. And one thing that as the episode goes forward is like Scully's kind of in a different, we see her in a little bit of a different light too. This is actually the first time where they point guns at each other. I don't know if that happens in the future, but I thought that was pretty interesting.
It is interesting to see kind of like how Scully's reacting to his, because I don't think Scully has seen him in this element before, and she's kind of like, you could see her, she's kind of stressed out like at this point.
She's like, you're acting weird.
Yeah, they think basically the Mulder's infected. They end up putting Mulder on lockdown in the in this outpost. They kind of put him in this room, lock the door so he can't get out. Just to kind of say, just in case he is infected, so he doesn't hurt anybody. And they actually find out a way to kill these organisms. So they find out that if you put two worms or two of the organisms, the creatures, in the same host, they end up killing each other. So
it's been actually about a little over a week since I watched this episode. Did they explain why they kill each other? Because I can't remember.
So it's kind of like, if you think about it, so when one of them is in a host, that makes the host violently lash out at other people. So it's basically just the organism violently lashing out at another host. So it's the same thing as if they put two organisms in one jar, they're going to fight and kill each other just because there's some kind of aggressive nature inside the organism that's causing it to lash out at other people.
Okay, so just basic symptoms.
Basic, like,
symptoms. Yeah. Don't like each other.
Exactly. They just want to lash out and kill something.
That's their whole nature, right? Their nature is violence and aggression.
Exactly.
So,
exactly.
Good with
that. They find out this, and they actually test the theory out on the dog. So they get a hold of the dog. They end up putting the organism, another organism, in the dog's ear. The dog, ends up coming to normal. Like, the dog ends up normal. There's nothing else wrong with the dog. Yeah. So they know right then and there that if whoever is infected, because they know somebody's infected, they think it's Mulder, putting another organism in the body, which they only have one left at this point, would fight off fight off what's going on. So pretty much this is pretty much the end of the episode here. Mulder, they find out, is not infected. Scully checks him out. He's not the infected one. He comes out, and they start trying to hold him down, put this worm in him, and they find out, you actually find out that the infected one is the woman. You said that she was the toxicologist, I think.
Yeah, I think her name was Dr. De Silva.
De Silva. She's like the woman that was with the doctor. She's like a toxicologist. You see the organism rust, like, kind of, underneath her skin while they're holding down Mulder, and they end up holding her down at the end of the episode and putting the organism in her ear, and it kills the organism, and then they're basically picked up by the military once the the snowstorm's gone.
Yeah.
At the end of the episode, you kind of find out a really specific point, which kind of goes along with the linear storyline. This whole episode doesn't have anything to do with like the linear storyline of the X-Files, but at the end, they do say that the military ended up torching the site because Mulder wanted to go back there. And the doctor's like, you didn't hear? The military torched the entire site.
Yeah. So once again, it alludes back to the very first episode in which they had all their documentation and stuff in their hotel room, and then all of a sudden their hotel room explodes or burns up. So it's a similar situation. So once again, the man is keeping them down.
Exactly, yeah. So you find out the military, A, either knew that this was there and wanted to cover it up, or B, found out about it and don't want it to get out. And, pretty much, that you just kind of are alluded to that point of somebody Mulder wants to believe, and he knows that the government is covering things up or trying to cover things up. So
absolutely.
That's pretty much it, guys.
If you guys couldn't tell, this is based on a couple of things. The very first edition of this type of story was 1938's novella Who Goes There by John Campbell, which then later had two incarnations of feature films, The Thing from Another World from 51, and of course, the one that we all know from the maestro, John Carpenter, The Thing from 1982. So this is very much along those lines. And one of the things I wanted to mention, Kyle, is going into this the first time, I had mentioned to you a few episodes back that this was my favorite episode that I had seen. And one of the reasons that it's my favorite episode is just because it's so damn cool. But another reason is I went into it without knowing that it was based on The Thing. So about like a couple minutes in, very quickly, right away, I'm like, this is very similar to The Thing. And as it kept going, I was like, this is totally like The Thing.
I didn't personally
take it as like, oh, they're ripping off The Thing. I was just like, oh, this is just another version of that story. It's just another version of that kind of tale, the tale of this, alien parasite or virus or whatever that hosts upon the humans and, tricks people, not like the paranoia and all that. Like, I love that about this episode. And honestly, it really is a condensed mini version of The Thing. That is the best description for this episode ever.
Yeah, I was going to say, it really is. It's just like a mini, it's honestly, it could be just that the directors or the writers were really inspired by the movie The Thing, and they really wanted to do something that was along those lines. And, I mean, it's really one of those things where you can't really go wrong with it. I mean, it's one of those things that, this type of environment where they're in, they're at this outpost, it's in the Arctic, it's freezing, and, this, kind of cabin fever type feel. You can't really go wrong with that. I mean, there's really not a whole lot that can happen. It even kind of reminded me somewhat at some points of like Alien. How they're like in the ship, it's kind of cabin feverish, or everybody's getting picked off. We don't know who's the one that's doing it, but it's definitely inspired by The Thing. Very, very, it's very, very close to it. So
yeah. So I do want to get into a little bit of trivia before we wrap up and get into our final ratings and stuff. But there is one thing that I wanted to mention. There's a funny line where, and I liked it because it kind of showed like a playful side of Mulder, where they're kind of stripping down to check each other's bodies, and he's like, "All right, guys, now remember, before we pass judgment, we are in the Arctic." And I was just like, "All right, that's funny." Obviously, talking about cold and what it does to male anatomy. But I thought that was pretty cool. It seemed a little bit, I wasn't really expecting like a line like that from Mulder, so that was kind of cool to see a little bit of a different side of him. Like you said, this episode was inspired by The Thing, but it was also inspired after I believe the writer read something about a men in Greenland who found a 250,000 year old item encased in ice. So that kind of led him on to the Who Goes There novel and stuff like that. I mean, it's classic body snatching idea concept. I love John Carpenter's The Thing is literally one of my favorite, top five favorite horror films of all time.
Yeah,
so,
mine as well.
I think this episode does do it justice. Obviously, it is a TV version of it. It's a huge step down in both quality and everything. But I thought that they kept the paranoia, the dogs, the human host, the parasite, the invasive species type thing. Like I thought they nailed that. I love the way that the set looked, where the, you know, everything's made out of this like plywood. It had a different feel to it. And what's interesting about this episode, Kyle, now to kind of get into the trivia a little bit, is that they actually said that they were going to do this episode as a bottle episode, which means it's all in one location or whatever, to save money. That was the idea. They were going to go and they were going to set this whole episode in one place. They were going to, you know, to save money in the back end of the series. I mean, this is a 24-episode season. They needed to kind of have a few slimmer episodes, and this was going to be one of them. They actually went over their budget on this episode, which is hilarious.
That's funny.
You know, some other trivia that we have here is that the dog is actually David Duchovny's dog's father. So not David Duchovny's dog, his dog's father.
Yeah, I remember I was talking about that. Like, it's kind of a weird thing to think about. But somebody, like I was saying, somebody had to have his family must have like all these dogs. And,
yeah, I was thinking that it might have been like a family line of dogs, like maybe, yeah, you know, his brother or something.
Had... Like a mangy. Honestly, the dog looked pretty mangy. It looked just like a generic dog you get at the animal shelter. So yeah. I don't know.
It is the type of dog that would be on like out in the outpost like that, it seems like.
Though. Why would a dog, to be honest with you, why would a dog be in that outpost? I don't even know why they would even have a dog there.
Well, only thing that I could think of, and I believe this was part of the original thing, or at least it was one of the reasons they had all those dogs, is because a lot of times whenever you're in secluded areas like that in Alaska, it's common to have a team of mush dogs on property in case you need to... you know, whatever. What are they called? Sled dogs?
Sled dogs, yeah. Like, I know what you're talking about. Yeah, the ones that pull, like, the sleds and the Arctic.
Yeah, yeah. So I think that is kind of like, it's just real common to have dogs in snowy environments like that. So maybe that's kind of why.
That could be it. Yeah, I mean, it makes sense. I mean, it was pretty snowy out there, though. I don't know. It seems like if, like, a dog, like, tried to get in the snow, it would, like, sink in the snow or something. Yeah. But... yeah.
So, also, one of the things, you did mention that they were millworms that they used as the thing, which are nasty looking. That's the perfect type of worm, because you don't really question it. You're like, yeah, I think that, you know, obviously it looks like a millworm, but who cares, you know? They're gross anyway. But originally, the idea was to put snakes in latex suits. Which is just like, what?
Yeah, that's what I was like. I was thinking, like, snakes. That would be kind of like an awkward, like, snake situation. Like, that would be an awkward situation. Like, why? Like, I'm glad they did not go with the snakes and they went with the millworms, because I couldn't imagine snakes in latex suits. Like, that doesn't even make sense, like, how they would do that.
The reason is because they didn't want it to look like a snake, so they would make a designed suit that it would go in and it would slither around like a, you know, like a big worm or something. It would look like a giant worm, but it would be – they would use snakes. But it's just like, I doubt you can – I don't think it really works. I don't think you can put a snake in a latex suit and it, like, be able to move right.
Yeah, I was going to say, and I don't understand how this episode really would have worked with snakes. Like, were they just wanting, like, the snakes to be the host? Like, not to be the host, but they want the snakes to, like, go inside these people's bodies? Because that doesn't seem like it would work very well either. So it's kind of a good idea that they didn't do that. It's very odd. Yeah, so
absolutely.
But yeah, I mean, I don't know. You want to get into our thoughts on it, on this episode?
Yeah, yeah. There's one little other piece of trivia, and that is that the one of the characters is named Campbell in this story. Obviously, a reference to John W. Campbell, the author of Who Goes There. But that's kind of it for trivia. Yeah, man. Let's get into our final thoughts. I gotta say though, one of my final thoughts is that Scully was actually looking quite lovely in this episode.
Yeah, and actually. It's probably because her hair was pulled back most of the episode.
Yeah, and I didn't. Has she done that before?
I don't think she's done that at this point. She actually, in the later episodes, she actually has longer hair, which is really cool.
I don't know if I like that. I like this.
It looks better longer, to be honest. She's got the 90s bob going on right now. So it's like, you know, all the women back then loved the short hair to the bob. It's called like the bob. It's like the short hair above the shoulders, and then it's kind of like curled in the back. That's how her hair is for the most of the.
I love that hair.
I love it. I do love it too. It's like one of those.
You know who had the best bob? Neve Campbell in Scream 2.
Dude, I was about to say that when you said
Neve
I was about to say Neve Campbell from Scream. I was like, yeah, she did have the best one, to be honest with you. That's like the most memorable Bob, I think.
But, how do you know this?
Dude, I know what I'm talking about. Trust me. Yeah. My mom had a Bob in the 90s, dude. Trust me.
Yeah. But, was your mom hot as Neve Campbell?
My mom's so hot, dude. Like, I think about her all the time.
All right. Let's go. Scully was pretty good looking in this episode.
She was. She was very. She did look a lot, not a lot different, but she did have that. And honestly, I think the thing that attracted me to Scully in this episode was her. She kind of led the episode. Like,
she was a little bit more strong-willed.
She was the lead. Like, yeah. Mulder's normally the lead, and Scully follows in suit. Scully had to take control of the situation, and
she was kind of almost the hero. But then she kind of does get locked in the closet at the end. And it's kind of useless. So
yeah, that is true. So
it at least felt like she was a little bit more in control. So with that said, let's hop into our tier ratings, which if you guys don't know this, we do these tiers for these TV episodes, and there's high tier, mid tier, and low tier. Now, mid tier doesn't necessarily mean that it's a bad episode or it's not good. It just means that it is a middle of the pack episode, but middle of the pack is still good episodes, you know? So don't think that if we ever do a mid-tier that we're saying that it's not very good. It could be very good. It's just nothing mind-blowing or top-notch type stuff. So let's go ahead and get into our tiers and final thoughts.
Yeah, go. I mean, what do you think, JP?
Oh, for sure, man. This is a high tier for me. Like I said, this is my favorite episode out of the first 12 that I've seen, the first 12 that I remember. And I just loved it. I thought it was super cool. I love the idea that they're going with the thing idea. And I really look forward to other episodes that are as good as this or even, you know, better. If there's something better than this, then I'm definitely going to be super stoked on future episodes. I just love the concept. I love the setting. I'm a sucker for isolation and horror anyway. So any TV show or movie that is, you know, an isolated horror film, I call them contained horror films.
Yeah.
So this is like sort of a contained episode. I think actually 22 Shots kind of dubbed that term. I don't know if we've heard it before that, but it's one that we always use. Contained horror films. Those are my shit. I just love the whole concept behind this one. I love the parasites, the body snatching moments. I love the paranoia. It's a very fast episode. It goes by really fast, and it just has a good vibe to it. And it was actually perfect, Kyle, for watching this, even though it's kind of nice and hot still in the winter in Southwest PA, which is crazy because it's never like this. It was nice to be in this December month and kind of check out this episode in December.
Yeah, I was gonna say I completely agree with you on everything you just said. I mean, it was for me, it was the acting was very, very well in this episode. The location of where they filmed it, like not the location, not the specific location, but the environment it was filmed in. I love films like that too, or like at least watching things like that. The kind of cabin feverish kind of thing they had going on. The references to The Thing and how the whole episode was somewhat like The Thing. I love that. I would as well. I'm usually, well, with this one at least, this episode at least, I'm between a mid and a high tier. I'm like on the fence because I'm not saying by calling it a mid tier it's a bad episode. It didn't really follow the story, the main, you know, storyline. But at this point, we haven't really met a lot of episodes that are doing that because they're still trying to write the episodes and get them down pat. I would probably agree and kind of lean more toward the high tier for this just because of the sheer entertainment value of this episode. This was my favorite episode thus far in the entire series up to this point that we've watched. And I it's going to be really honestly hard because what I'd like to do is kind of get my top three episodes for the season at the end of the season.
That's a good idea.
It's going to be – yeah, I would. I'd like to do that, kind of go through all the episodes, look over them again. Not watch them again, but just look over what what we've already watched and kind of do like a top three. And it's going to be really hard to beat this one. I mean, I don't remember. I've seen this whole series several times. I don't really remember the first season that much, but it's going to be kind of hard to beat this episode just because of the sheer entertainment value and how much I liked it. So, yeah, I would definitely just say, go ahead and say it is a high tier episode.
Yes.
It's very entertaining, and it was awesome. So,
awesome, dude. That is good to hear. I think we both very much enjoyed this episode, and I got to say, it reinvented my excitement for this show because I do feel like the last maybe three for me wasn't the greatest. The Jersey Devil, Shadows, and Ghost in the Machine. So we're back to strong stuff here. And see, The next episode is Space, and if I'm remembering correctly, I might not like this one.
So, yeah, well, that's the thing with this series, and it goes, and it's honestly, and I hate to say it, but it with a series that has 9 seasons, there's hit and misses throughout every single, and they have so many episodes per season. There's so many hit or misses because we got different writers writing them, we got different directors directing them, you know, and they're kind of throwing in some storyline for the entire series in there. There are a lot of hit or misses in this series, but you know. I think that gets less and less as we go through the season.
Yeah. And I actually heard that, you know, the first season is not the strongest. No. The seasons get not a lot better as we move forward.
Honestly, if you were to ask me, I would feel that the first season was probably the worst season of just because it had nothing to do with maybe even any of the writers. Is they have to get down a structure to this show.
Yeah, a formula. They have to really get their footing and figure out what they're going to do and get comfortable and stuff. So yeah, I understand that, but I think that's gonna pretty much wrap it up, dude, right?
Yeah, man, I think that we pretty much got it, you know, got everything for this episode. And like you said, next week you said this is gonna be the next episode is gonna be season 1 episode 9. It was at Space, you said?
Correct.
So you guys tune into that. You know, check us out on he probably, if I remember right, you probably said this at the beginning of this episode anyway, but I am the Horrorphile over at the Horrorphile on YouTube. That's Double Shot J over at on YouTube. Check us out. We upload the podcast to each of our channels, and we also have an iTunes feed as well. So check out our iTunes feed. Leave us some comments. Review our stuff. Let us know. Leave us a review on iTunes. That would be awesome. Let us know what you guys think.
Yep, that's it.
All right. Well, if you guys have any questions or any kind of comments or anything, just leave them below and you know, on our pages. Let us know. And until next week, we are out.